In the scriptures, we encounter the examples of many leaders who encourage God's people to go beyond boundaries in furthering God's purposes in the world. The leader that I'd like to focus on this morning is a woman by the name of Deborah. And if you have your Bibles with you, I wonder if you would turn with me, please, to the book of Judges in the Old Testament. Judges chapter 4. Probably most of you are aware of the pattern or the cycle that occurs a number of times in the book of Judges. In fact, it's interesting that this pattern recurs 7 times, and there's 4 parts of the pattern. Firstly, God's people rebel against the Lord's ways for them. The second part of the pattern is that God moves in and disciplines his people because of their rebellion. And usually in the book of Judges, that discipline is in the form of an invading army that takes over control and oppresses God's people for a number of years. And then the third part of the cycle is that God's people become so desperate as they are oppressed by this invading force that they cry out to the Lord in their distress. And then the final part of the cycle is that the Lord hears the cries of his people. The Lord sends a deliverer or a judge or a person to lead God's people and to liberate them from under the forces that oppress them. In this particular instance that we're considering this morning, the instance that is recorded in Judges chapter 4, the deliverer was a woman, and her name was Deborah. Just to summarise for you what we read of here in Judges chapter 4 and 5, Deborah received the Lord's message. And the message was simply this: the Israelite people, under the leadership of a man called Barak, were to go out and to fight against the invading Canaanite army. And the Lord promised that he would help them. The Lord would assist them and strengthen them and enable them to win the battle. It was a clear command and a clear promise that the Lord gave his people through Deborah. Now, initially, Barak was pretty scared, and he was unsure about what to do. But Deborah urged him on with her courageous faith and her confidence in the Lord's power to help. And in the end, the Israelite army did follow the Lord's directions. Barak did receive encouragement, and God assisted his people to win a decisive victory. What impresses me in particular about this woman by the name of Deborah is that she was a person who led God's people beyond boundaries. She was a person who refused to be limited by all the restrictions around her. And this morning what I'd like us to do is to look at Judges chapter 4 and look at some of the restrictions that were threatening this woman, Deborah, and to see how she strongly refused to be limited. She strongly refused to be restricted by those limitations. The first thing that she refused to be limited by was her beginnings. The Hebrew word Deborah literally means bee. That's B-double-E. And in the ancient cultures, a person's name had great significance. If a baby was born and the parents gave that person a name that meant something, it usually implied that the parents saw that child in a certain way. It was kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, and they expected that the future and the character of that child would be fulfilled in the name that they gave their baby girl or boy. Now, I'm not going to be dogmatic about this, but I just have a theory here that for a woman to be called Bee might suggest something to us about her parents' expectations of her when she was born. My own personal theory is that when this woman was born, her parents looked at her and perhaps they felt that she would never be significant. And so they said, we'll name her after an insignificant insect. We'll call her Deborah or Bee. An interesting contrast, by the way, even in this chapter in the book of Judges, is the man Barak. And Barak's name means literally lightning or thunderbolt. Isn't that an interesting contrast? Deborah the bee, an insignificant insect, Barak, lightning, thunderbolt. And so here are two people with very different beginnings. People whose parents had very different expectations. about the character and the destiny of their children. And yet the thing that impresses me about Deborah is that she did not allow the expectations of her parents to shape her destiny or her character or her future. There's another man recorded for us in the pages of the Old Testament who was very similar to Deborah in this regard. His name was Jabez, and we read about him in just a few verses tucked away there in all the long lists of genealogies in 1 Chronicles. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we learn of this boy baby who was born, and his mother went through very agonizing pain as he was born. So when he was born, she called him Jabez, which literally means pain. And it records for us there in the scripture that when Jabez grew up, he cried out to the Lord, and he said, "Lord, please bless me. Lord, please enlarge my territory. Lord, may your hand be upon me. May you protect me and keep me from harm. And may I be free from pain." Here was a man who refused to be locked in by his name and by the expectations of others. When I was a young boy of age 12, I had a fairly devastating experience as a young boy. We were sitting in class one day, I was in grade 6 in primary school, and I had done particularly bad on a recent exam. And my teacher spoke to me, I was sitting towards the back of the class, and right in front of the whole class, she singled me out and pointed at me, and she said, "You will never go very far. I can see what's going to happen to you when you get to high school. You'll get into a class somewhere in the middle of the grade, and as the years go by, you'll go lower and lower, and probably by the end of year 9 or year 10, you'll drop out of school." Now, for me as a young man, that was a devastating comment for a teacher to make in front of my friends and in front of the class. It just shattered my whole self-confidence and my ego. And it took me years to work it through. And praise God, I can say that the Lord has helped me in that regard. The Lord has shown me and taught me through the years that He loves me unconditionally, that He accepts me as I am, that He sees me as a significant person. And it took me a long time. In fact, in some ways, I'm still working that through, even so many years later. How devastating it can be, the expectations and views of our parents and teachers when we are young. And yet Deborah shows us that we don't need to be limited by that, that we can break free and be a significant leader for the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's a second thing that Deborah refused to be limited by. She refused to be limited by her gender. Obviously, Deborah was a woman. And women in the ancient world, as we all know, usually had very fixed roles. In Hebrew society, they were not expected to be leaders in their own culture. And yet God stepped into this woman's experience. God spoke to her and communicated to her. God asked Deborah to take a leadership role. So if you look with me, please, at some of these verses in Judges 4, in verse 4, we read that Deborah was a prophetess. Now, she's not the first prophetess in Israel's history. The first one that we read of in the Bible is Miriam, who was Aaron's sister. And we read in Exodus chapter 15, verse 20, that she was a prophetess. But there's only about half a dozen of them that are recorded for us in the pages of the Old Testament. Deborah is one of those few. But even more unique and unusual, she's actually the deliverer or the judge or the leader of Israel at this time. And so we have written at the end of verse 4, she was leading or judging Israel at that time. And in verse 5, she held court, and people from all over Israel came to her to have their disputes decided. Now, when we look through the book of Judges, we see that every single judge or leader was a male, with the exception of this person by the name of Deborah. And it's interesting to look in this chapter at how bold and courageous she was as she stepped out of the limitations of being a woman in that culture. Have a look, for example, at verse 6. She sends for Barak, and she says to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you." And then she goes on to give him the Lord's command. I wonder how Barak felt a woman making a statement like that to him. She sends for him and she says, "The Lord tells you, Barak, to do this." And I can imagine as a man he found that pretty hard to handle, a woman communicating to him a message from the Lord. But she has a sense of authority and conviction because God has spoken to her, and she knows that God wants her to pass that message on to others. I want to say very strongly today that there is an urgent need in our churches in Australia today for women to take leadership roles. There is scope for women to be involved in all areas of leadership in our churches, in preaching, in teaching, in evangelism in the home and in the community. Now there's a need for both sides though to recognise this. Churches need to encourage women in leadership and to remove restrictions. A little bit earlier this year I was attending a Queensland Baptist church. I'd been invited to speak at that church and the secretary got up early in the service and he said, "It's come to that time of the year when we invite people to nominate names for the deacons." And he said, "If there's any man's name that you would like to nominate, then please feel free to do that." Now, I kind of sat there wondering what was going on here, and after the service I went and spoke very kindly and sensitively, of course, to that secretary, and I said, you know, I had my Bible open at Romans chapter 16 to show him that Phoebe was a deaconess, and I also had my finger in 1 Timothy chapter 3 to show him that there were deaconesses that Paul instructed Timothy to appoint. And I said to this secretary, "Do you mean to say that you don't allow women to be deacons here in your Baptist church?" And he said, "Oh no, we're quite open to women being deacons. It's just that we've never had one before, so we just assume that they'll be men. And I hope that maybe by my..." I didn't go ahead and show him the verses, by the way. I kind of moved on to another topic. But I hope that maybe my question might have perhaps broaden his outlook a little bit and encourage that church perhaps to consider removing restrictions for women in leadership. But you know, it's not only churches and men who need to take action, it's women as well. Often women find it hard to take the initiative and to use their God-given gifts in leadership. Just last Monday I overheard a Baptist pastor speaking to a group and he said that in their church here in Queensland, they've been going out of their way in recent years to remove barriers and allow women to be leaders in their church. He said the problem is hardly any woman will come forward, and women are very reticent about coming and using those kind of gifts in leadership roles. So women, could I encourage you, as well as men and church leaders, to open up opportunities for women in leadership? There's a third area here for Deborah, where she refused to be restricted and she refused to be limited by the cowardice of other people. When Deborah came to Barak and told him to take courageous action, at first he showed himself to be hesitant and weak and uncertain. Let's have a look together at the reply that Barak gives. That's recorded for us in Judges 4 and verse 8. Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go, but if you don't go with me, I won't go." Here is a man whose name means lightning, thunderbolts. And here he is speaking to this woman by the name of B and saying, "Unless you come and give me moral support, I won't go." Barak was a wimp. And yet, Deborah was not put off. If we look at the next verse in verse 9, she refused to allow him to excuse himself. She says in verse 9, "Very well, I will go with you, but because of the way you are going about this, the honour will not be yours, but the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. Now, in offering to go with the army, Deborah was taking a great risk. She was going with these soldiers. There obviously was, from a human point of view, a risk that she might be killed and that she might be placing her life in jeopardy. But she was willing to go and take that risk because she was trusting in the promises of God. You look back there at verse 7. There she reminds Barak of what God has promised. God says, "I will lure Sisera," that's the commander of the opposing army, "with his chariots to the river, and I will give him into your hands." That's the Lord's promise. And Deborah is believing that promise. She is claiming it and clinging onto it. And so she is ready to take a risk. I wonder about you in your situation in your church. I wonder if you are a church leader, are surrounded by cowardly people, or perhaps by other cowardly leaders. Perhaps the leaders of your church are always retreating, as can happen very easily in our Baptist churches. We can retreat behind our limitations. And how often do we hear pastors and deacons and elders saying things like this? Oh, we don't have enough finances to go ahead and do that. Or, we don't have the resources. Or, our property is not adequate to go ahead with that kind of idea. Or what about this one? We don't have people with the gifts to go ahead in this task. There are all kinds of excuses, all kinds of cowardly smoke screens that we can put up. Maybe you're in that kind of church. Maybe God is calling you to be like a Deborah, to be a person of vital faith, a person who takes God's commands seriously, a person who believes in God's promises, a person who says to the other leaders, hey, let's go out and do this. We are restricted, yes, but the Lord is with us and we're trusting Him and let's take some risks. And then a final area where Deborah refused to be limited. She refused to be limited by the overwhelming task. The task that was facing God's people at this time was enormous. The enemy, the Canaanite people, were a terrifying foe. Look with me please back in verse 3. They had 900 iron chariots. And in Judges 5, that the Israelites at this time didn't even have one shield or one spear all throughout the whole people. And reading on in verse 3, these Canaanites had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. And then we look over in verse 13, Sisera, the Canaanite commander, gathers together his 900 chariots and all the men with him, and they go ready to do battle with God's people. And yet despite this terrifying foe, listen to these amazing, inspiring, confident words of Deborah in verse 14. She says to Barak, go! This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak went down to Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed the enemy. What confidence, what courageous faith on the part of Deborah. You know, it's the same for us today. The task that faces God's people today is just as overwhelming as it was in Deborah and Barak's day. There are so many people in our world today who are spiritually lost and who need the message of God's salvation. There are so many hurting people, even within our own cities and country towns, who need a practical demonstration of God's love and kindness. There are so many Christians who need comfort and challenge. The needs are enormous. And so, like Deborah, we need to rise up and we need to say to the other leaders and to God's people, in the words of verse 14, go! This is the day the Lord has given the task into our hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of us? During this coming year, may all of our leaders of our Baptist family of churches refuse to be limited or restricted. We've seen this morning that Deborah refused to be limited. She refused to be limited by her beginnings. She refused to be limited by her gender. She refused to be limited by the cowardice of others. She refused to be limited by the overwhelming task. Let us, as God's gifted leaders, rise up and lead beyond boundaries.